The right to die is back to Hitler's time, believes this listener. First we killed the children, now we're killing the elderly and the disabled. It's ridiculous that people who are on strong medication for which every medical issue they have are being asked to make a decision like this. It's clear they'll not have the proper capacity to make such a decision. God gives life, and only God, this caller says, can take it away. Greg, there are two very different strands of Judaism in the US. The dominant one, which controls the media in large parts, is the Zionist strand. The other one is the progressive Jewish strand, which have demonstrated repeatedly and vocally against the Israeli genocide in Gaza, but gets very little, if any, press coverage. What the dominant American Zionists do not quite understand is that they can no longer use the Nazi Holocaust as a weapon to get everything they want politically, given that the Israelis themselves have committed their own Holocaust against the Palestinian children. Israel has made the worst, the very worst, of strategic blunders and has showed their true hand. A caller says the Tories and said Brexit would be great for the people of Britain, but it hasn't worked out that good for the citizens. No, it's brutal over in Britain at the moment. I have relations over there. It's tough. I read yesterday that the council have spent millions on refurbishment of council houses. I've been in mine for 10 years and not once has my house been painted. I've had to do it myself. Maybe the money they've spent is... I didn't read the article, but is it about sort of maybe getting them back into use? I'm not really quite sure. Now, let me see. I want to mention that the Rafoe Pipe Band have a tractor run tomorrow. It's leaving from Rafoe Livestock Mart, that's the Derry Road Rafoe, at 1 p.m. Registration is at 11 a.m. All types of tractors, cars and lorries are welcome. It's €20 per vehicle. Refreshments at the end of the tractor run. Now, there is a prize draw as well for all entrants. And the charity partner is the Donegal Hospice. So that's tomorrow. It's that time of the month to say good morning to Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin Gunn and Company Remelton and Letterkenny. Seamus, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are things?
Fantastic, and it's great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, nice to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Our lines are open, by the way, for last-minute questions to 07491 25000. But before we get on to that, interested in your views on this subject, because we read that public liability and employer insurance premiums rose by 8% in 2022. At the same time, profit margins for insurance companies increased by over 50%. A new central bank study also found the cost of public and employer liability settlements is down 43 million on 2019 levels. Businesses in the accommodation and food sector saw the largest premium increases, with some reporting rises of 24%. Brian Hanley from the Alliance for Insurance Reform says recent moves by the government to tackle the increases have failed. So premiums on the up, profits on the up, up, up. What's going on, Seamus? Unpack that for us.
Yeah. I think you'd need to be Solomon, really, Greg, to do that. But it's another report, and it's one that I think people should and will sit up and take notice. Because I suppose, firstly, we have to consider all the different strands of society that this impacts on. You know, you have the business community, you know, the commercial enterprises that are out there. Then you have community groups and you have sporting groups. And this is a serious impact on those types of organisations, especially the voluntary ones and the sporting ones, are finding it nearly nigh on impossible to get adequate cover. And some are actually tied into the one insurer. And that's as a point that has been brought up, is because of lack of competition. They're leaving that segment of the market. So there's very little actual competition in it. But the headline, as you make, it's stark, so it is. The premiums are going up, the claims are coming down. For so long, we heard about that the premiums were driven by the levels of claims. In the particular year of reference, the 2022, they're down by 33%, a full third. But yet the premiums are up by a full 8% in this particular sector. Now, what's all interesting is this report came from the Central Bank, I think, yesterday morning. There has been very few insurers actually come on the media, shows like yourself, and try to justify this, because when you dig down into it, for so long they said, oh, it was the cost of claims, it was the cost of settlements, it was legal costs. That drum has been beaten for years. So what they've done to try to deal with that is they've now introduced new judicial counsel guidelines to make recommendations for personal injury awards, so that people have some idea what level of damages they will get. We thought that that would be a sensible approach. That's, by the way, being challenged at the minute in the Supreme Court. So that may or may not stand, but we'll wait and see. But this is a prediction, though, and this is also quite stark. I believe now that the level of claims as a result of the new judicial guidelines will be going and will be on the increase, because the awards that are being made by the Injuries Resolution Board are at such a level that they're going to be challenged through the courts. And that will have a knock-on effect of actually increasing claims rather than reducing them. Now, only time will tell whether that comes to pass or not. But if that does, then you could be in a situation where claims are actually up as a result of these activities and premiums even go up further. Mm. What's the knock-on effect of that? It's back to the small community groups, sporting groups, local businesses, find it nigh on impossible. So they're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic here. This really is going nowhere. It's another report, and by their intermeddling actually with the system, the PIAB is now called the Injuries Resolution Board. I think the knock-on effect is that claims are actually going to escalate up. There has been two books of quantum, and this is interesting, since 2003. And that gives guidelines as to what awards should be. Dissatisfied with that, the insurance groups lobbied to have a new set of guidelines introduced. In April 2021 or thereabouts, the Judicial Council gave effect to that. And there's now a new judicial guidelines recommendations, which in practical terms, has reduced the level of claims compensation down to about a third of what they were at.
But why isn't this
being broadcast or being highlighted at all. But if that is the reality of it, what's the knock-on effect of that is those claims will be challenged by people like myself because they're inadequate. Mm. What does that do? That puts up the costs further. And in a lot of cases, a lot of them cases that are challenged are successful, I have to say. So the awards will be higher. And the knock-on effect of that will be another increase in premium.
So what's the function then of this Book of Quantum?
The function of it was meant to be to reduce the awards.
Yeah, but how come so many awards are not using those guidelines then? It's not obligatory.
Dealing with that, they come in, and it's a very interesting point because they come in 2021. This report is in relation to the year 2022. Those were cases that were in the pipeline pre those guidelines. They were under the old Book of Quantum. Mm. So they would have been actually higher. 76 or 77% of them were under the old guidelines. So that would have attracted even higher damages. But what's happening now is the Injuries Resolution Board has to adopt the new guidelines, which, as I said, are coming in at somewhere near around a third of the damages. And the net effect and the knock-on effect of that is that they will be challenged. And we'll see will the Supreme Court knock it down or not. It may not do. But the insurance industry as it stands and with the setup currently, rather than the desired effect of reducing claims, where we're at now, I see claims going up and I see costs going up because the injury board, the awards that are being made are not adequate and are being challenged by lawyers, and rightly so.
Yeah, and of course, all those litigation costs and what have you, then...
Builds in. And to be perfectly straight about it again, there's been studies, multiple studies on it. They can, when a case comes to court, and I have to say not that many of them do, and percentage-wise, you might be down to maybe 10, 12, 15% at the very max at that sort of level. But if they go all the way to court, they could add 40% to the value of the case by the time you cover costs.
So what's the solution?
Not only the costs of the claimant, mm. that's the plaintiff, the person challenging,
yep.
but the costs of the insurance company to defend it. So that's how, again, drives up premiums.
So then is it a case then that we have to throw everything out the baby with the bathwater, or more realistic awards through the Book of Quantum, I think it's called, isn't it? Does that need to be revisited so that is referenced more and becomes it becomes a middle ground between the person making a claim and the insurance companies?
Yeah, well, that's fair to say. It's now actually the Book of Quantum, which I always thought was adequate enough. It was making reasonable awards. This was the second book.
Yeah,
that one is now being reformed, and the issue now is that the new guidelines that are being put in place to replace that have reduced the level of
understood.
Recommendations
yeah,
down to about a third of it. And there is the nub of it. And that's what's going to result in the challenges. That's my prediction.
You.
So I'd be very interested for you to have some of your insurer representatives to try to come on and justify this. And again, I'm saying the knock-on effect for communities, sporting groups, businesses, small businesses such as our own and all that is phenomenal.
All right, challenge accepted. Leave it with us. Hi, Greg. Could you ask Seamus, I'm looking for advice on my rights as a consumer. I bought a car in January in a private sale. It was advertised on a well-known car website. We probably can all work out what that was. It's a seven-year-old car. At the time, I was told it had no mechanical issues. The car was running fine till a few weeks later. A lot of things started to go wrong and I took it to a dealer. After the car went through the diagnostics, it showed many issues, and as a result, to fix the car it will cost more than I paid for it. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of the original advert, only that the car is absolutely immaculate. Well, there's a website called the Way Way Back Machine, which might help you in that regard. But anyway, do I have any rights or comeback because I'm paying for the car and I can't afford to fix it? So they took out a loan, Seamus. They've yes. bought it on one of the websites, a private sale between two individuals. They were told the car was fine. Their dealer now says that the car's got a whole host of problems. Do they want to know, do they have any recourse?
Well, you can understand how this happens. You know, there's websites out there all the time, and, there's attractive looking bargains and consumers are drawn into them. These situations, have they got recourse? The only little salvo of hope that I have, and it is small, I have to say, unfortunately, is that you mentioned the words absolutely immaculate, or they say the reference that has been, that it was that was represented to them. Under the law, you might be able to make the claim that that is misrepresentation of a product and trying to induce one into a contract, and it's false. And therefore, you would mount a challenge on that with regard to the cost of the car and the replacement and the damages that would follow. But the caveat, and it's a major caveat, in these situations, I have always recommended to people, if it's too cheap to be right, it's probably wrong. But if you want to go down that avenue, get a mechanic, motor engineer, someone you know, or someone who is well versed in the motor industry, to go along with you when you're viewing it and carry out a few tests. It might sound very straightforward and common sense, but it's not that common. These diagnostic machines are quite portable, believe it or not, too. You could have one of them or someone with you that could use them and check it out. And do that check on it, and then part with your money if you so wish. But it's caveat emptor in this type of situation. Buyer beware, because the individual, and you've said it there yourself, that they bought it from is a private person. It's an individual selling it. They can say, once you look at, I'm not a mechanic. I don't know anything about cars. I'm just selling my car. I'd want to get my best price for it. What's wrong with that? So if you stick to your dealer and somebody who's in the trade and you buy from them, well, then you have a recourse.
So the person is in the situation where the car would cost more to fix than it costs. They can't afford to fix it to make it roadworthy, and they can't afford to buy another car. It's a horrible, horrible situation
Absolutely.
They find themselves in, because they've got a pile of scrap that's worth nothing.
Dreadful.
But the truth be told, they won't have any success pursuing this with a private seller, will they?
The only little salvo, as I just said at the start, is but they're going to have to invest money in it, and they have already said they've spent money, and the car's not even going to be worth, you know, get put back to where it was at. You'd have to arm yourself with a motor engineer's report for starters. And that's going to cost money. Not sure they're entitled to be paid for that, whether the case goes ahead or not. And then you would probably, I would think, it launch your attack anyway under the heading of the absolute immaculate point that was made. and say, listen, this was misrepresentation, and you're going to pursue it down that route. You're going to have to engage your own lawyer. There's going to be funding involved of that. There'll also be the added hassle and stress of it going forward. So whether you're going to be successful, and this will be waved at you all the time when this was a private individual that was doing the deal, and you should have gone and looked about it properly and had the car assessed by an appropriate expert before you bought it.
I mean, I've sold a couple of things in the past on these websites, and then you've got Facebook Marketplace, which is another entity altogether. And I have sold them in all honesty,
of course,
in good condition as far as I was concerned. But that doesn't mean, as you said, I'm not a mechanic. That does not mean that in a week's time the head gasket could go and the engine's gone. Genuinely, I would have sold it.
And in your opinion, even just developing that, in your opinion, it was absolutely immaculate.
Yeah.
You had no issue with it. Never gave you any bother at all. And now suddenly it's given trouble. So that applies right across the board, and it's unfortunate. Whether the person wants to invest money and go down that route that I suggested, or cut their losses, it's entirely up to them. It's a very unfortunate one.
More questions answered from Seamus after these. Okay, we are in the company of Seamus Gunn of McLaughlin Gunn and Co. Remelton and Letterkenny, answering your legal questions as best we can. Seamus, my aunt is leaving me her house in her will, but I'm worried I will be faced with a huge inheritance tax bill. The house is worth around €150,000. Any suggestions?
With making it clear that I'm not a tax consultant, and sometimes people, you know, would like to consult with somebody such as an accountant or that, who's dealing with matters of tax probably on a daily basis. However, they are under the umbrella of what's called capital acquisitions tax, which is gift tax, and inheritance tax, which is all come under the one. And we do deal with that type of situation that arises. What's of interest is that we're talking about a nephew or a niece. So the tax threshold is set on that at $32,500 subject to correction. So that's the value that you can inherit or take as a gift without paying tax. And thereafter, then, you pay 33%. So that's a very heavy tariff once you get above that on the difference. The caller says that it's a valuation of 150 on the house. So you're talking about that much in between. What's the scenario, or is there a way of dealing with it where that won't arise? Well, there are exceptions to the rule, like there are in many situations. And one that arises in this case that would certainly be worth looking at, that if this is going to be the primary home of this individual, and if they've lived in it for 3 years before, now they've mentioned it's a will, so it hasn't been transferred yet. If they live in it for 3 years prior to the death of the deceased, and it becomes their family home, well, then that an exemption kicks in. Once they keep it for another 6 years, they don't sell it within 6 years, it'll be clawed back if you do that. But if you live in it as your home, then you'd be able to claim that exemption, which is a very useful tool, so it is, just to bear in mind. That'd be what I would be looking at if it was considering this situation. And there's still time enough probably to move on it, as I say, because the caller believes that it's been left
rather than a transfer. So in a reality situation, I think that the liability, according to your figure, is somewhere around €35,000-40,000, right? Like, how vigorously do they pursue you for that? I mean, is that a bill that's you're instantly liable for and they will pursue you for? I've never really heard of sort of what happens next in those scenarios.
Yeah, well, what happens next is not that palatable, Greg, usually, and that's what arises. If a death like that triggers in, the revenue are quite entitled to collect it. Now, if there's nothing there, and the point you are sort of hinting at, well, how do you pay it? It's the house. Well, yeah, then you have to look at the asset and say, well, there has to be a return made on that gift or inheritance at the next financial year, that year end, so that there are returns made to the revenue, and that triggers then the tax, and then they will raise that as a liability. Now, how they go about collecting it, that's entirely a matter for themselves. But even if they didn't want to force a sale of the house, they could convert it into a judgment and register it as a charge. So if the caller was then going to go to a bank to get a mortgage, that'd be there ahead of them. So it wouldn't be very attractive for a lending institution point of view. But I'd be saying there, it probably thinking about it, well, if that's the type of liability that triggers in, the individual would be better going to a bank first and then being able to fund it. Maybe raising a small loan or mortgage. I know it's 33 odd thousand, but it's still a dwelling house and a significant asset. So by raising a mortgage or against it then, so they can sort out the liability to the revenue, that leaves them with an asset. All right, they have to pay back the mortgage, but they'll hopefully be able to live with that sort of at a monthly rate.
They'd have that large a sum. Yeah, they'd have 150 odd euro.
The reality is, though, that it is collectible and it is collected.
You need to be ahead of it, really, actually, by the sounds
absolutely,
of things.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I'm trying. A bit of forward planning, maybe have a chat with whoever you know would you would know in that particular area. But it's not too late. And if you are right ahead of it and do it right, and a bit of financial planning, you know, it mightn't kick in at all.
Yeah, okay. One more on wills, actually, before we have another one on a different issue. We have a large family. My mum went into a nursing home and has left our family home to just one child. This has already happened by transfer of deeds to that person's name. Now, this house is being rented out. Can this be done?
Yes. On the face of that question, I don't see any reason for it not being done and the person acting quite lawfully in doing so in that. They have said that the transfer has already been completed. Now, for a transfer from one party to another in family, there's a requirement since around 2013 or somewhere around then that you need two legal representatives, one to represent the person who is the donor giving it away and the other one who is receiving it. So that keeps everything right. And obviously, the transfer and the registration has gone through, it's the individual who's the owner who is renting it. So as it's phrased, I don't see an issue with that. If it was a situation where the transfer has not gone ahead, well then there might be a little bit more involved.
What happens if you own a property and have a fence around it? Our fence has been knocked down constantly. This is at great cost for the people to repair. It'll cost €1,200 for concrete posts. Who's left to pay for it? The cars were actually pulled out, but they never say who they are. They don't come and tell you they've knocked your fence. So this is obviously on the side of a road. Cars leaving the road, tossing the fence, and the person doesn't necessarily know who's doing it.
It's not neighbourly activity.
No.
You can see where they're coming from. The responsible party, and going back to where we started, it's an insurance matter, really. It's a claim against the insurer of the vehicle that crashed into the fence, and the owner obviously would be cited. So the point, I think, that arises in practical terms is to identify the vehicle that's involved, etc., and how do you go doing about that? How do you go about that? And there'd have to be using some form of investigation or maybe some type of CCTV coverage or whatever. But it does give rise to a claim. If that happens, it's an accident and obviously maybe unfortunate, but it gives rise to a third-party claim against the vehicle, whoever is responsible for the vehicle that demolished the fence in the first place. And the costing should be got of it and then pursued.
Yeah, and also if it's surrounding a house, there's a possibility, depending on the home insurance policy they have, that the repair of that fence might be covered. But the people are saying this is happening all the time.
Yes, it would. It very, very well, and that's a good enough point to make. But the insurer of that won't be too happy with that, because they'll be saying, well, look, it's not their insurer who caused this damage. It's a third party. So and that'd be a very comprehensive type of plan you would have now if it covered a third party damage in your property. But let's say it did. That insurer would likely then pursue a claim if they could at all identify the vehicle and the owner of it against them.
Yeah.
So I think, and you'd want to look very clearly at your insurance policy to be sure that you would be able to claim on the home cover for somebody else's damage.
Yeah, true. Lastly, neighbour has 5 dogs. They're constantly barking, Seamus, when the owner is not there. They don't bark as much when the owner is there. Now, this caller, out of desperation, has contacted the dog warden, but the barking is still happening. Have you any advice, Seamus?
It's a very awkward situation. It can be common enough. Is it creating a nuisance and it might be ruining their enjoyment of their own property and their own home? So if it is getting to that stage, you're talking probably about They've gone to, I was going to suggest the dog warden to have a word with them and see what where they can move on from there. But if not, you're talking about some type of claim and looking for damages regarding nuisance. Where you go with it, you're going to be investing a lot of money in it. Well, my advice in these situations has been for years is be real, be practical, you know, be neighbourly. I know, again, it sounds like common sense, but there's not that much of it about. But if it can be adopted, it'll save people an awful lot of money.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be a runner. They're probably a dog lover and it'd be like going around and insulting them.
It sounds like one that you could degenerate to solicitor's letter and then you're taking it from there, you know, and try to mount in some sort of a case and saying, well, you know, this is actual nuisance now and it's causing distress to the family and all the rest of it. So you better do something about it. And then challenging that and bringing that down the court route and invest money in it and maybe getting... measuring the noise and everything else that goes with it and get very technical and get quite expensive.
Yeah. Build your own house in the middle of nowhere. But you can't do that now either anyway. Okay. Seamus, listen, thank you very much indeed for your time as always. Seamus Gunn and McLaughlin Gunn and Co, Remelton and Letterkenny. You can search online and get all the contact details or actually just go straight to the website, Seamus.
Just as handy, Greg, just as handy, gunn.ie, gunnigallsolicitor.ie.
All right. GUNN. Thanks very much indeed. Seamus Gunn there of McLaughlin, Gunn and Co. Seamus back with us. Is Seamus on every 3 or 4 weeks? Caroline, is it 3 or 4? I don't know. She's not listening to me. She's on the call to someone. How often is Seamus actually on? Is it once a month? Oh, it's the first Friday of every month. How long have I been doing this show? I've only just twigged that. All right, lads and lassies. Thems and days. There is a half an hour to go before our lines close. We've £2,500 in cold hard cash to give away at 11:30. So you can go onto our website highlandradio.com, buy your tickets there. €10 is the max you will pay for a ticket. You can get 6 for 50, 10 for 80, and you'll be in the draw for €2,500 at 11:30. Now, if that's not good enough, you will also be in the draw for €5,000 in cash next Friday and a €10,000 home makeover package, thanks in association with our friends at Foy's. Okay, so £2,500 to give away today, effectively £15,000 to give away next Friday. You've got about half an hour to get your tickets. Give us a call if that helps. 074-91-25,000. Okay, so we've got another named Storm. Storm Kathleen will reach Donegal tomorrow. Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather joins us. Alan, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
No problem at all. Good to be here.
Alan, over the last wee while, it seems most of the weather is hitting the south or affecting the south worst and moving northerly. What you know, and I suppose normally we hear weather arriving into the northwest and moving down the country. What's happening that has us in that situation?
Yeah, so we have a jet stream that's a bit further south and we have these low pressure systems which are moving up from the south, coming from the kind of southwest of Ireland and then tracking north into the south of Ireland and moving up, as you say. And usually that means that the south of the country has seen the brunt of the weather, especially with rainfall, with Malin and Macehead, the only two stations that were below average rainfall for the month of March. So we should be all heading to Donegal on our holidays for the spring, I think, by the sounds of it, Greg, based on that. But Storm Kathleen is a little bit different. It's going to track up along the west coast and it is going to bring, well, it will bring it into the south and the west. It's going to bring it right across the country. So it is going to be a storm that's going to impact the whole island, the entire 32 counties.
I see some of the maps that you posted. There seems to be a particular concentration of rain in the south and southwest. So what does the weather have in store for us here in the northwest then over the coming couple of days?
So you're looking at very strong winds tomorrow from early morning really right through the day. And the unusual part about it for the northwest is it's going to stay very windy even into Sunday morning. So while the yellow warning comes into operation at 5 a.m. and ends at 8 p.m, it is actually still going to be very windy in the northwest, especially right through Saturday night into Sunday. And even Sunday up until around lunchtime, you're still looking at winds in excess of gusting to over 90 kilometres an hour in Donegal. So we may well see a wind warning possibly for the northwest that could be extended. The rainfall will mainly come before Storm Kathleen tonight. And again, then there will be showers tomorrow, but there will be good sunny spells as well. and then some more heavy showers on Sunday before, unfortunately, more very heavy rain moves up from the south again on Sunday night into Monday. So we have very heavy rainfall, and that's why the weather charts I posted show the high rainfall totals by Monday evening. We're looking at over 100 millimetres in the southwest. Now, the northwest will escape a lot of that, but you're still looking at, you know, possibly 30 to 40 millimetres of rain, which obviously on top of saturated ground is not going to help the farmers or anybody trying to do any horticulture, etc., outdoors.
Yeah. I mean, it's just having a shocking impact on particularly on potatoes and the potential potato harvest. Alan, obviously, you know, once you sort of go into next week and beyond, it's educated guesswork to some extent the further out you go. Any indications of anything positive from a weather perspective?
Yeah, so we have kind of unsettled weather up until the middle of next week, but the weather models are starting to trend towards some high pressure trying to move up from the south around the middle of the month, so around 10 days time. Now, as you say, once you go that far, it is a little bit more uncertain, and at this moment in time it is hope. I should also mention that, you know, high pressure moving up from the south doesn't always reach Donegal. So it may be that the south does get a break from the rainfall, but maybe not the northwest. But look, we live in hope that maybe from around the middle of the month, we will see a change in the weather patterns and high pressure might well extend to all areas. So it might be just enough hope to keep the farmers going for another 10 days.
Fingers crossed. All right, Alan, listen, thank you very much as always. Greatly appreciated. Alan O'Reilly there of Carlow Weather. And you can check out Carlow Weather on a plethora of social medias, Facebook, Twitter, X, and Threads as well, actually. Right, okay, John Wilkie's with us now. Hi, John.
Greg Hughes. How are you this morning? On the show.
I'm doing broadly okay, actually. Thank you very much indeed.
You're looking right. Can I see you on there?
Ah, good man. Now, come here, John. You've been out and about looking at things far more pretty than me.
I'm always out and about, Greg.
Far more pretty than me.
I'm always out and about doing stuff, you know, and
you were out at Errigal recently, and I mean, you're just the latest voice on this one. And we're going to have to get somewhere with this eventually. Talk to me about your experience and what.
Before I phone the council, I have to phone yourself first.
Course,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I told Caroline that.
Right,
listen, absolutely. But come here. I know there's all sorts of things going on in the world, and we have lots of issues in the country and the county. But we have a big issue down at Mount Errigal where people are using the mountain as the toilet. And we need to maybe get a dry toilet. I was talking to a few other people about it there, and I'm an advocate of Errigal because it's in the county, it's the tallest mountain, blah, 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 751 metres, 200 and whatever, 1,000 feet, or 200,000 feet, 2,000 feet, whatever, no, or more. And a lot of visitors, and they have nowhere to go to the toilet. Off, you know, so.
So,
that's it, Greg.
Like, I mean, at the bottom, obviously, it would make sense because people could, you know, go to the bathroom before they took up this climb. I haven't been up it yet, John. I'm ashamed to say, but I will.
Well, come here now. We'll have to organise that, Greg.
Yeah, for sure. No bother. And I mean that genuinely. Yeah. But is there an option midway up for some sort of a facility? Like, this is, you know, the jewel in the crown phrase is often used, isn't it? But this truly is. And there's very few things that are embraced as much by visitors as they are by locals as well.
Well, absolutely. I'm actually talking about people, the locals, all the time. I met a man there, he's 80 years of age, coming down at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's lots of people doing that. You know, it's great now with the walk and the path, and I know they spent about 700 and up to €1 million on the path. But it'd be amazing just to get that car park extended and maybe get a few portaloos to see how it goes. And I know there's a village there, and I know they have a committee and all that, but it's just when people come down, they want to go up the hill, back down again, onto their car and away. But then we have an issue now with traffic because there's lots of people doing it. It's safer now with the new path and everything. But it's just, it'll be lovely to see maybe some of the councillors coming on there and talking about it, maybe and see could they give it a wee bit of input, you know?
I see from your picture, there's probably about 20, 22 cars in the car park, and then the cars start queuing up, don't they, on the far side of the road.
Yes.
And it's kind of a quick part of the road, whether we like it or not. I don't know when this was taken, but I don't think it's at peak time this picture was taken either, John. So
No, that is Tuesday there after Easter, so it'll be quiet. So that's That's quiet.
But the car park is full.
That's a quiet.
The car park is full. That's full already, for the night. Like, yeah.
Yes. That's full from 9 o'clock in the morning. So look, it is warranted. Maybe some of the councillors would need to say, listen, well, get the finger out here. Maybe try the portal loose to see how it works. And I know there's issues with rubbish then, and I know all that kind of crack.
It's maintenance. I think we...
Listen a minute.
Yeah. It always comes down to that,
but
I
look,
think.
All I'm trying to say is really, and I'm so sorry, it's just an issue, and it's rubbish, and it's, you know, but it'll be amazing if they could get the finger out now. Maybe a couple of portaloos to see how it goes. Because, as I say, I met people last year from California. Six ladies, actually. And they says, oh, could we use the restroom around here? You know, they're like the Americans. Mm-hmm. And I says, well, I'm so sorry. We don't have one. Oh. So, you have people coming from all over the place to claim our highest, and we have no facility for them.
Yeah. Shameful, really, isn't it? You know, we should find. Well, we should be able to find a way. Yeah, even if you have to spend a penny to spend a penny. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's...
Well, look...
You know, that's not... We shouldn't be afraid of...
Even in the town park, and they're a good facility. You know, there's a restroom up there, whatever, toilet. And, you know, and it would need to be done now. And the safety aspect, just take that into it. That's all. Mm.
And also inclusion, because, you know, people have different abilities in terms of...
Well, look,
capacity to hold.
I was talking to Jennifer Doherty there recently, and I think we're going to claim it now before she goes away to Kilimanjaro again. So, you know, people with disabilities, you know, things like that there. If we really want to include everybody, we should include everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, and have the amenities for people. That's all.
All right.
You know?
Okay, listen, thanks very much for that, John, as always.
Keep up the great work, Greg.
Keep up the great climbing and all the stuff that you do. Take care. John Wilkie there. Listen, we've heard it. Oops, what have I dropped? We've heard the same thing so many times. Are we edging any closer to a resolution? I don't know. Now, a caller was on to us, or an emailer was on to say that I was hoping you guys can give some awareness to the big charity quiz night that's happening on Friday the 19th of April. It's in Brown's Bar Crossroads. We're helping raise funds for Orla, the Way to Donegal charity cycle from Cork to Letterkenny. In turn, all funds we raise will be donated to Pieta House, Letterkenny. We have some great prizes to raffle off on the night as well, such as a night away to Dublin for two, a night away to Galway for two, €200 cash prize, vouchers for Michael Henney's, Donegal Oil, and that's just to name but a few. We've started selling tickets already online through the iDonate page because with some of the prizes, we thought this is the best way possible to maximise funds. This is where I was hoping you can share and maybe give a shout out on some of the shows to help promote the night. Now, of course we can. It's hard for me to read out the link, but if you go to Mantis Cranes Raffle Fundraiser, you should come across the iDonate page there. It's the Mantis Cranes Raffle Fundraiser 2024. And also the quiz night. It's a big charity quiz night. Everyone loves a quiz, don't they? It's on Friday the 19th of April in Brown's Bar, Crossroads, Donegal, if you want to support those charities. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio as we edge towards another weekend. I hope you're all feeling well. Fionnuala Rabbit's going to be joining us very shortly, as is the man himself, Michael Leddy. That's all coming up as part of That's Entertainment. And also, we have €2,500 to give away. That's at 11:30. To be in with a chance to win, and tickets are going into the draw drum as we speak, as people buy tickets. You need to give us a buzz right now. Preferably go to the website highlandradio.com. As soon as you buy a ticket, it's instantly allocated a number here, and it goes straight into the draw drum, by the way. So you can buy your tickets now on our website, highlandradio.com, or give us a call on 07491 25000. But if you want to win €2,500 at 11:30, or €5,000 next Friday, and a €10,000 home makeover, you need to be getting your tickets in the next 15 minutes.